Our first lesson is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. On that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Ethiopia, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson comes from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I will tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall help hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore clothing of camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's sermon title is Preparation. As we prepare for the coming of the Lord. Now, preparation for Christmas and preparation for Advent are two very different things. We prepare for Christmas by pulling out the Christmas decorations, putting up the Christmas tree, buying the Christmas presents, you know, by maybe baking special Christmas treats, wrapping presents, giving presents, family visiting or visiting family, all these things we do, Christmas parties, all these things we do, and they tend to bring us great joy, and we celebrate the coming of Christmas, the coming of Christ. But Advent, especially the second week of Advent, takes us to a different place for preparation, takes us to the place of repentance. Turning away from the sin that we've done, remembering all the bad things we've done and confessing them before God. And quite frankly, when it's a mood killer compared to preparing for Christmas. And I kind of tend to want to say, you know, forget Advent, you know, forget this repentance. Let's go with the joy of Christmas. And all the fun that it entails. And that is precisely why we need this second week of Advent every year. This is precisely why we need to come and visit with John the Baptist and his message of repentance. John, though, he was somewhat of an oddball, don't you think? He's preaching out into the wilderness, and he wears the camel skin clothes. And I have to think that's probably unusual since that's what's mentioned. And he has this weird diet of locusts and honey. What kind of diet is that? And yet, you know, one of the fad diets that's popular these days is the Daniel diet. Have you heard of that? It's made after Daniel, the Old Testament prophet, when Daniel and his friends were taken into captivity in the Babylon Empire. They were being raised up to be the important people in the empire, and they were given all the king's food. And they refused it. They said, no, we'll eat vegetables, and we're not going to drink the wine, we'll drink water. And they had this diet, and somebody's copied it and is probably making a lot of money off of it now, this Daniel diet. So when's somebody going to come up with the John the Baptist diet of locusts and honey? Surely it's out there. John's father was a priest. Worked in the synagogues. He worked at times, had shifts that he would have in the temple. So that's when he got the vision that he would have a son. So why didn't John follow in his footsteps? Why wasn't he in the temple or the synagogues? Rather, he was out in the wilderness. And I suspect it's because of the message that John had and his delivery of it. He was pretty forceful, stern, and probably I kind of sense angry at times. And this message of repentance, you got to turn your life around, just didn't fit in well in the synagogues and the temple. It wasn't the message people wanted to hear. kind of reminds me of John Wesley. The Church of England kind of pushed him out where he had to preach outside because his message didn't fit on the inside. And so we have John preaching on the outside, John the Baptist, and people flocking to hear him, coming out to hear him, and I wonder why. I think for some it might have been for entertainment purposes. You know, they didn't have TVs or movies or even books. Most people didn't know how to read. So what do you do for entertainment? I can just see the father of the house saying, pack up a picnic basket. We're going to go hear this weirdo preacher and see who all gets baptized today. And so they go out. And it reminds me of when I was in seminary. My roommate and I would hurry back to the room after our 10 o'clock class to be there for the 11 o'clock radio show. I don't remember the minister, the preacher's name, but we had to get back to hear him. And so here we are, we who are studying Bible and theology, go to hear this radio preacher. And we didn't go listen to him because he offered wonderful spiritual insights for us. We listened to him because he was this crackpot we were entertained by him. We laugh at him. One of his big things was that everybody should be using the King James Bible. I don't have anything against the King James Bible. I find it difficult to read out loud. But he said everybody needs to use. This is the only version you can use. And I find that very funny because my roommate was at that time was taking advanced Hebrew, and I was taking Greek exegesis. These are the original languages that the Bible was written in. But no, we need to use the King James Version. And he'd go off on tangents, and we found it very entertaining. So I suspect some people came out for the entertainment value. But we're also told that the Pharisees and the Sadducees came out. Now, you couldn't get two more diverse, opposite-end people than the religious Pharisees and the secular Sadducees. About the only thing they had in common were that they were both descendants of Abraham. And they come out to see what's going on with John the Baptist. And when they show up, he gives them an earful. Oh, you brood of vipers, you think you can come out here because you're children of Abraham and everything will be okay? No, that didn't work. God can raise up children of Abraham from these rocks. No, you need to repent, turn your lives around. I suspect that the Pharisees and the Sadducees would have turned against John just the way that they turned against Jesus a little bit down the road if Herod hadn't gotten to John first. But when John preached against Herod and his marrying his brother's wife, that was too much for Herod, and he had him arrested and eventually beheaded. So anyway, people were coming out to see John. And I suspect the real reason they were coming out was because he had this message of hope and of peace. He was stern in his delivery, but he said what the people wanted to hear, that the prophets of what they said is coming true now. And we read one of those prophecies, the one from Isaiah. And that was written like 700 years prior to John the Baptist. But it talked about God raising up a new king. A king that's going to rule with wisdom and rule with righteousness and rule with equity for all. And there will be peace in the land. And people wanted to hear this message. And Isaiah even goes to describe how this peace will look. And we don't take this literally, but it does talk about there being peace in the land where the animals that hunted for their food would be lying down next to what used to be their lunch. And they lie there in peace. Beautiful illustration of how it will be. Peace in the earth. And the people wanted this message. They needed this message of hope and of peace. And John saying, it's coming. It's coming. And when it comes, it's going to come with power and with the Holy Spirit. And the people are saying, well, what do we do? How do we prepare for this? And John says, you need to repent. You need to turn away from the ways you've been living. Now, there's a difference between repentance and confession. We confess our sins. We list what the things we did wrong and the things that we should have done that we didn't do, and we ask for forgiveness. Repentance goes deeper than that. Repentance is a turning and going in the opposite direction. Repentance is recognizing that certain aspects of our lives are based on lies and a flawed view of what is true and of lasting values. And let me give you a couple of illustrations that I see of that. One would be racism. We tend to think of racism as being prejudiced against someone, and maybe not treating them the way they might should be treated. And we don't see it as a systemic problem in our society. Even though it affects everyone in our society, racism is where we see someone and think of them as inferior or flawed in some way. And we may tell jokes or we may discriminate. But we need to recognize that this is a part of our society, and it's a bad part of our society. And we need to repent and turn away from that. Recognize that all of us who are in here who are white, we have experienced white privilege, whether we want to name that or not. Sometimes we just want to put up blinders and turn and not see it. But repentance is turning away from this world view and recognizing that all people are cherished and valued in the eyes of God. And when we see this racism coming up, we need to do something about it. So that's one example. The other example I would want to share is materialism. And this is another one that affects the way we live. We think we're going to find value in our possessions. And so we get more and more possessions, thinking they'll offer us more and better things in our lives. And this is really rampant in our day and age than what it used to be. When I was living in Philadelphia, I bought a house that was built in the early 1900s. In the master bedroom, there was this beautiful piece of furniture built into the wall, and it had two doors on it, and you open the doors, this is where you would hang your clothes. It was this deep. So you had to hang your clothes sideways. But there's not a lot of clothes you can hang this deep. So there was one for the husband, there was one for the wife, and you could probably get 5-6 things hung up in there. Today, when you build a new house, don't you pretty much build in a walk-in closet? I had a room in that house that I had in Philadelphia that is smaller than most walk-in closets. We need more and more possessions, and they make us feel good. And then we just look at this the giving tree we want to support this year, and we think of all the people in the world that don't have proper housing. Something's wrong with this picture. And somehow we need to be repenting of this idea that it's okay for us to have all these possessions while so many people in the world live in such poverty. But you know what? Repentance by itself is impossible without given a new way of perceiving what is real and what is true. If John the Baptist had just been preaching, repent, 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 I don't think he would have gotten very far. But he said, repent because the kingdom of heaven is near. This is what you're yearning for. This is what you desire above all else. And because you desire this, you're willing to repent. You're willing to turn away from these things in your life that need to be dealt with, need to be changed. And so John is saying, come because the kingdom of God is near. Turn your life around because the kingdom of God is near. And this is what we do for preparation. And this is the message we need to be hearing today in our society. We get all excited about Christmas. And we've turned Christmas into, what do I get? What presents am I going to receive? What material goods will I have? Whereas it's really about receiving the gift that God has given us. And then showing that peace, that love, that hope to others. Yeah, we can prepare for Christmas. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to say give up your Christmas. But I am saying we need each year to come back to John the Baptist and his message of repentance and putting everything into perspective. How we are living and how does this affect our lives. So, let us prepare ourselves for Advent and not just for Christmas. Amen.